Hello, and welcome to Medical Musings with Dr. Joanne on 88.5 KRFY, community radio for North Idaho. I am Dr. Joanne, and I hope you'll enjoy the medical topics that I've chosen to present at 8 a.m. the first Monday of every month and rebroadcast on the third Monday. And if you enjoy podcasts or miss the show on the radio, you can listen to a podcast of the show at KRFY and select their podcast tab. Just a little about myself. I spent the majority of my career as a pediatrician in a private practice in Columbus, Ohio, and as a media spokesperson for the National American Academy of Pediatrics, the Ohio chapter of the AAP, and the Central Ohio Pediatric Society. I love educating my patients, their parents, and the public in person, in print, and on radio and television. That's why this program is so important to me. This month, I will be focusing on February as Senior Independence Month. Believe it or not, according to Milestone Senior Services out of Kalamazoo, Michigan, Senior Independence Month was established in the 1800s when the Industrial Revolution was sweeping across America, disrupting traditional social and family networks. In 1988, President Reagan proclaimed World Senior Citizen Day, and today we celebrate the entire month of February as a way to honor seniors, recognize their contributions to society, and support their independence. And as we all know, the baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, are now the seniors of today in increasing numbers. In 2008, there were 39 million people over 65 in the U.S. By 2031, that number will almost double to 75 million folks 65 and older. Creating an environment where older adults are encouraged to remain living in and engaging in their community is a benefit not only to them, but to the entire community. Aging in place allows our elders to stay connected to their family, friends, neighbors, and the cultural communities they identify with. Likewise, our communities benefit from the richness and diversity of a multi-generational population where young and old can learn and benefit from each other. A recent survey reported that 77% of adults 50 and older want to remain in their homes. It is not surprising that the vast majority of adults want to age in place, if they are able. 40% of adults are not even aware of the resources in their community for senior services. Therefore, the goals of Senior Independence Month include not only to inform older folks of resources that enable them to stay engaged, but also to recognize the value of our senior citizens. That allows young people to learn by example and to create an inclusive society. We are fortunate here in Sandpoint that we have Sandpoint Area Seniors Incorporated, as we call it, the Senior Center, headed by Jesse Vachon, Operations Manager and Nutrition Coordinator. I also have Jennifer Whitmire, the Executive Director at Luther Park, in the studio, so we'll be discussing the various living options seniors have in the Sandpoint area when they are looking at retirement communities. Please introduce yourselves to our listeners. Jesse, why don't you tell us a bit about your background and what brought you to the Sandpoint Senior Center?
Well, I'm actually a native. I was born here a couple of years ago. And I have mostly stayed in the area. I've done quite a bit of traveling, but the senior center position was just kind of, I happened onto the meal coordinator position last March. And so that's where I started with them. And then we lost our wonderful executive director in, I think that was July. We didn't lose her. She went to a dream job. And so we had a hole to fill, and I stepped up into the position of operations manager, and we are currently looking for a development director. But that's kind of the history on how I came into that position.
Very good. And then, Jennifer, tell us a bit about yourself.
I have been working in senior living for about 12 years now, give or take a few. Feels like it's been a lifetime. But it definitely is a passion. I was a correctional officer previously. My uncle was diagnosed in 2010 with Alzheimer's, and I was helping care for him and realized that I just wanted to be a part of his everyday and learn, and started in a facility as a caregiver and worked my way up. And I Senior living's definitely a heart and soul of many of us.
Wonderful. I have a board member friend who just said how wonderful you were. So that was such a great recommendation.
Thank you.
The Senior Center here in Sandpoint provides the local resource to seniors to remain independent and active, stimulating their minds and bodies with a focus on health and nutrition. We know that isolation and food insecurity can be so damaging to the psyche and life of our senior citizens. So, Jesse, let's discuss the entity, the Sandpoint Area Seniors Incorporated.
Well, we have been in operation now for about 52 years. We have a lunch program that is Monday through Thursday. We serve at 11:30, and it's a wonderful program. If you're over, you're 60 and over, it's a free meal. We just ask for a donation of $7 if you're able. If you're under 60, then it's a $10 meal, which is a great meal for $10. You're not going to find better in Sandpoint at that price point. And we also have a home-delivered meals program, and that has special qualifying factors, but we send out right now about 140 meals a week for that.
That's amazing. How do you get on the list to be on site? I know you can just come in to the lunch. Did you ask for registration for the lunch or no, just for the Friday? You'll get into the Friday special.
We have, for our lunch program, we do need to register guests that are 60 and over if they want to receive the free meal. If you're under 60, you don't need to register, but we do need reservations regardless of your age. We just ask that those come in before 9:30 the morning of, just so we can make sure we're prepared to serve the number, because our numbers do fluctuate quite a bit. So
I can just come in for lunch someday.
You can, absolutely.
Okay, I know I've played bridge there, but you'll get onto that too. So how do you get on the list for the on-site or for the deliveries?
The home-delivered meals, you can call in and talk to me. You can also call Area Agency on Aging, which is our funding agency, and we do a referral form, and I can fill that out talking to people over the phone. The qualifying factors for that is you need to be 60 or over, and you need to be mostly homebound. And that doesn't mean that you can't leave your house. It means you have great difficulty leaving your house, that you need help, or and you need to take your walker. It's a struggle.
Yeah.
And then you need to be unable to prepare your own meals. And that is also, if you have a walker, it's difficult to stand in the kitchen and prepare your own meals. Yeah. So that's a qualifying factor for that.
It's kind of like Sandpoint's Meals on Wheels.
It is Meals on Wheels. And a lot of people refer to us as Meals on Wheels, but actually that's a franchise.
That's a national program.
National franchise. We're not part of that, but it is the same type of thing. I think our meals are better, but.
And is the charge for that similar to if you go in, or is there a charge?
There is no charge if you're 60 and over for either of those programs. We do ask donations because only a third of each meal that we make is funded by Area Agency. So we do make requests for donations whenever it's possible.
Okay. And then I know you have a Friday breakfast fundraiser. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
We do. We're actually kind of revamping that a little bit. We're going to start up again with the fundraiser the last Friday in February. So I think that's the 27th. And it's a $10 charge regardless of age because it is a fundraiser. But we are very excited to have Wendy Frank from the Hoot Owl going to be our guest chef for this season for our breakfast.
Oh, that's very cool.
Awesome. It's going to be great. I mean, a lot of people know Wendy. She's an amazing chef. So we're excited.
So who cooks the meals Monday through Thursday?
That is our chef, Brenda, and she is also very good.
And then do you, as the nutrition coordinator, help her decide on the menu? Or?
Oh, goodness, no. Thank goodness. I leave all the big nutrition problems to Brenda. She's really good at it. What I do for coordinating the meals is I handle all of our packaging for our home-delivered meals and run the dining room for lunch. But she handles the actual buying of the food, cooking of the food, deciding which food we're going to have. She puts together the menu, and that type of thing. So.
Very cool. Does she get food from a big distributor or from the stores around town? Or
she does both. You'll find her quite often at Super One or Yolk's. Also, she orders, who do we use? URM usually. So yeah, she's got a variety of places that she sources her food from.
Because we know the trucks come because you see them going up to Schweitzer.
So. Yes.
So there are definitely food delivery trucks. Well, again, keeping your mind active and socializing is another component of what you all provide. So tell us a little bit about those programs.
Well, we have quite a few of very active card players. And we have on Mondays is Bunko. Let me see what time that is. I think it's that starts at 12:30.
I'd never played Bunko until last year, and I played with some friends, and it was fun.
They are a rowdy
bunch. I know a lot of people that play.
They have a lot of fun with that group, I will say that. Lots of laughter, a lot of good vibes when the Bunko players come in. Let's see, on Tuesdays we have Bridge. It's 12:30. That's a little bit of a quieter group, but it's a pretty big group that comes in. And then on Wednesdays, we have Pinochle. And they start at 9:30, so they're pretty much
morning.
All day. They are, and they will be there
all day,
pretty much all day. And they have lunch with us, and so they really enjoy that space. And we have other programs, too. We do an art program on Wednesdays. POAC sponsors that. They're doing a drawing series right now. We also have felting classes, which are really fun, and they make some cute things that come out of that class. And then we have Fit and Fall Proof, which is Mondays and Thursdays at 3 to 4.
Okay, so that's helping your body, because
yes,
just recently, in fact it was today, and I don't know when the article was written, there was in the New York Times, it's about how physical activity is the most effective way to lengthen your life, and mm-hmm. you know, talked about decreasing the risk of cancer and depression and dementia and type 2 diabetes, of course, and cardiovascular disease. So I know I had a friend that taught that course. I don't know if she's still doing it, but...
I think she is, actually.
Nikki,
yeah, she's definitely part of that.
Yeah, I remember
group.
When she took the training and she was so excited to start it.
She's a great instructor, too. We have she's one of the favorites, I would say.
Nice.
Yeah.
And then I had a fall, and someone gave me the wheeled walker with the little seat on it, and afterwards was like, we don't really want to store that, so we gave it to you.
Yes.
And then you have a medical loaner program.
We do.
So how does that work?
We have everything from walkers to toilet seats, toilet risers, the little things you put on the edges of the bed, wheelchairs, and you can come in Monday through Thursdays when we have that program running, and we take a break at lunch, so it's best to come in the morning or after about 12:30, and we just check out the equipment to you, and you keep it for as long as you need to. There's no cost associated with it. You can return it when you're done, and we do take donations all the time for that, and it's a very, very well used service.
I wonder what happened to my pink walker.
We might still have it.
Yeah. You have to look for it. It's interesting, too. I'm not sure if I read, I think I read that working with, like, a computer has also been a program, or has that not been a program?
We had
the technology.
The tech guy. We called him the tech guy that would come in once a month. We don't have a volunteer for that position right now. So if anybody's interested in volunteering for our tech program, that would be lovely.
Oh, that's interesting. It's so interesting to me. I'm going to use my mother-in-law as an example, and then another good friend. So my mother-in-law was born in 1918, and our good friend was born in 1927. And the difference was amazing. I mean, we couldn't get her to use a cell phone. When she moved back to Columbus, Ohio from Florida, she didn't know the stations, the channels that coordinated with ABC, NBC, mm-hmm. and CBS. And she was a big television watcher. She used to call, you know, when it was like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And she'd call and go, John, millionaire. You know, things like that, you know. So she really, and Wheel of Fortune and things like that. And she got to Columbus, and we noticed she wasn't watching TV. And She, you know, really couldn't use the cell phone. She put a lock on her bedroom door in independent living because she was so paranoid. And then we have this other friend who was born in 1927, and he constantly uses his cell phone. People call him all the time. He looks things up. He uses Siri, you know, and talks to his phone. You know, we ask a question, and he'll just immediately goes to his phone. So it's so different than just 9 years, you know, how he was much more comfortable with using technology.
I think it's your upbringing, too, and where you're at, you know, and what you've done for a living and how comfortable you are with change. And we see that at Luther Park, too. And we're super grateful for our business office director because he's the IT guru and he can sit there and he's really good at helping them with their phones and all that stuff. But I think it's definitely a little bit of how you were brought up and where you were at.
So do you see a lot of people using phones and iPads?
We do. And laptops. And then you have some that are absolutely, there's no way. I mean, my dad was that way. He was a detective for the San Diego Police Department. And we used to laugh because, you know, I remember getting our first Apple Macintosh computer and it was so cool. And he refused to use it because he only did his reports on a typewriter. And so for us, it was like a whole teaching thing for him. And so we got him a flip phone and he just would get so mad at it. I mean, I can't tell you how many of them we replaced because it was just not in his wheelhouse whatsoever.
He threw it on the floor or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yep. For that, sure.
That's so interesting. We have the same thing. We belong to the Schweitzer Primetimers and we've had different websites over the years and some people just could never, you know, get to the website or we used to have a paper roster. Well, now when that was when we had 100 members and now we have like 500, 600, 700 members and people join all the time. So you can't make a paper roster. So it's, you know, you have to get to it on the website and that's been difficult for some people and then easier for some. So back to Jesse, if a client needs assistance with food or shelter or monetary support, do you have someone that helps them or can direct them to resources around?
We direct people to resources all the time. We maintain a list of contacts for housing and basically anything, the VA, that type of thing. So while we don't have those resources on site, we can usually point people in the right direction.
Because I know, you know, as people get to be 65 and or 66, 67 or 70 when they want to retire, it's like, oh, a Medicare supplement. How do I know what to do? And, you know, there was someone, at least in Columbus, or your own insurance agent, if you, you know, really know and trust them. So do you find that, Jennifer, too?
We do. You know, there's different housing options all over, depending on what you're looking for. But absolutely. We use the Senior Center for resources as well for our own so we can help direct people. But yeah, there's a lot of confusion with the Medicare and what's going to cover and how I'm going to make it work.
We had a couple of gentlemen come in that they were insurance agents, but they had a presentation about Medicare and Medicaid. And that was very helpful. And we do typically have quite a few different programs like that where we'll have people come in and if people need to be educated, our seniors need to be educated, they can stay after lunch usually and ask questions and that type of thing. So we really encourage people, if they have information they need, to get out there and come talk to us.
Yeah, sometimes people go, oh, I don't want them to be selling me something. And, you know, are they really going to view information? But yeah, so.
And we do have kind of a strict rule on that. You can come in and talk to our seniors, but you don't get to sell anything.
Okay, good. Yeah, that, I mean, that kind of is where people sometimes, you know, kind of recoil,
I guess. Absolutely.
Now, I know at one time the Geezer Forum was free standing, I guess. They were at Marigold. And then I saw that at one time, maybe it was the executive director last spring who incorporated the Geezer Forum. Are you still doing it or just doing parts of it? Or
Well, we have not had a Geezer Forum since she left, unfortunately. But we are starting up again March 10th.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is. And we're partnering with Paige McAllister, and she was formerly a board member. So she's going to be running the first program, and it will be at Marigold Bistro. And we're going to be doing this, having it the second Tuesday of the month through June. And then hopefully we'll be able to go beyond that. But that's the plans for right now. And the first topic that they're going to be discussing in March is blue communities, blue zones, which is something I actually just learned about. And I think it's going to be very interesting. Paige just went to Okinawa, Japan. And so she's bringing back a lot of information about blue zones and how they utilize that type of thing in Japan and how maybe we can apply it here.
It's funny. When you say blue, I think of bluing for hair. being depressed. Oh. You know, so you know, you can all, I guess, apply the word blue to lots of things. So, you mentioned a little bit, but why don't we just review the budget for our listeners? How you get your money to survive?
We work really hard for it. I'll say that first. Our board is. Been really wonderful, and they really do work very hard at our fundraisers. Like I said, we have about a third of each meal that's actually funded by Area Agency on Aging. We fundraise for the rest of that. A certain percentage of that is from just donations for meals. But we just had a fundraiser, our fall fundraiser. We called it Dish Up Community, and our goal was $93,000, which I thought was astronomical, and we brought in $124,000, which was 30% over our goal. So
that's great.
It was amazing. The support we had from the community was astounding.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of volunteers, and how do you get your volunteers and the variety of volunteers?
We do have a lot of volunteers. We have a volunteer application for anybody that's interested. They can come in and fill that out, and we can find a good fit for most people. Our main volunteers, I think our most active volunteers, are our drivers for the home-delivered meals. And they put in 933 hours of volunteer service last year in 2020.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
It's pretty amazing. And then we have our dining room volunteers, which is our second group that is also very active. And they put in over 1,000 hours in 2025. So we rely very heavily on our volunteers, and they are just amazing people.
That's great.
I really enjoy working with the group that we have.
And I know, like, Nikki volunteers to do the FIT program, and I'm sure the other, well, you said that POAC does the art.
So. POAC does the art, and then Creations, a gal from a Creations, does the felting class.
Oh, okay.
And we have a couple of volunteers that play piano before lunch several times a week, and yeah, there's...
Wonderful.
Yeah, there's just about something for everyone.
Okay.
If you're looking for a volunteer position.
I'm going to do a little station ID. You are listening to Medical Musings with Dr. Joanne here at 88.5 KRFY, Community Radio for North Idaho. We are discussing February as Senior Independence Month with Jesse Vachon from the Sandpoint Area Seniors, Inc., and Jennifer Whitmire, Executive Director at Luther Park. Moving on to the various options for senior housing is another very important facet of aging gracefully. Senior living has changed, and so have the services that are provided to our seniors. So I'm going to involve Jesse a little bit, too, in what she's known or heard about changes over the years. As I said, homes for the elderly, or as we called them, old folks' homes when I was a child. I'm not sure if that's derogatory or not, but that's kind of what I remember. The old folks' home was up on the hill above the baseball stadium. Were often started by churches or women's groups. In 1887, American Express set up the first private pension plan in the U.S. So there's such a variety of senior living communities, independent, assisted care or skilled nursing facilities and memory units, and there are probably others. How do individuals and their families make the decision to leave their home and move to either independent or assisted living?
Gosh, that's, you know, each person is different for sure. There's different diagnoses that helps facilitate that. You know, it can be from, gosh, I'm forgetting to take my meds every day and my daughter lives in another state and we're just concerned about making sure you're making the right medical decisions, to she's not eating anymore and we need to make sure she's getting food, or just even the light housekeeping. Or then you have the people that really need a lot more of mobility related conditions, you know, that are needing help with transfers and things like that. There's just so many different options now. You know, I know the old saying is it's just the old nursing home, right? Everybody was going to a nursing home, and we like to think of it as your senior college years. We're a lot more fun than that now. So
it's so interesting because I have friends that have chosen to move into independent living. Mm-hmm. Because they either didn't want to, you know, shovel snow or mow the grass or whatever. And there's so many different housing options on the same properties. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll be independent homes or little duplexes. And then the, you know, semi-high rise or the, you know, whatever story building where you can live in. We have one friend in Florida that it's kind of like going to a resort.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's several restaurants and the beauty shop and... And so some people move in early, and then some people just, you have to work so hard, you know, the family has to work so hard to, whether it's convince them or it's almost like having a confrontation.
Right, and the doctors, you know, involving your PCP or your loved one's PCP is really important, because they can write the orders of, hey, you're no longer safe to be at home. We need you to go ahead and probably move somewhere where you're going to get some assistance.
So is that the best or the most common way that the senior citizen listens?
You know,
if they really trust their doctor.
If they really trust the doctor, we tend to use that to our advantage, you know, because families don't want to be the bad guys. They don't. But they also don't want to continue being the caregiver and not being their daughter or their son anymore, or or husband or wife. And it's definitely a struggle. So, you know, as the doctor starts seeing more and more issues that are coming about, it's easier for them to say, hey, let's sit down, let's have a talk, because eventually it could involve the state and, and the ombudsman program and how we're going to help take care of them.
It's so interesting because I can see that sometimes if you're a different doctor who sees people, you know, people don't trust you as much. But even if your doctor, if you're the doctor, you know it well, tells you something that you don't like hearing, you may go, oh, I don't like them. And then
I'm going to get a new doctor.
So do you hear that kind of story?
Yeah, we sure do. You know, one of the advantages we have is we use, recommend a lot is MesaCare. Dr. Meza is a gerontologist. That's what he has specialized in. And he has a whole group and team that all the way from Jerry Psych, you know, to hospice. And he's a medical director for a lot of different organizations. But we've used him for years in different facilities. And a lot of families like that, once people move in, we can sign them up with MesaCare if they so choose. Because then you start looking at the issues of, are they mobile enough to get in my car so I can take them to their appointments? Are they going to fight me? Are they having memory care behaviors that is going to stop them from getting the care they need, when we can have somebody come in and help? So I think that's a benefit as well as they start looking into that medical need.
So you've seen the whole continuum from skilled nursing.
Absolutely.
And a memory unit. And then now Luther Park is primarily assisted. Is
it
that
is
right?
Primary.
Or independent? Kind of independent assisted. I mean,
you know, there's no longer any independent anymore. There is in other communities, just not ours. Everybody moves in with some form of needing some assistance. We did used to have a memory care, but the need for our community is so much more than that. It's just with the regulations changing July 1st of 2025, we're able to take in so much more different needs, such as feeding tubes and things like that, it's dependent on our community. If myself and the nurse feel comfortable with it, and our staff, third-party providers, all of that. So we are trying to keep them to age in place all the time. And some people come in super independent, but they do need one little thing done. And they're trying to set up for their future and, and get in the routine. But yeah, memory care is a special one. That's where I started in this industry. And it will always have my heart and soul. It's my favorite. It's the only place you can be absolutely crazy and sing crazy songs and whatever. And they just think you're amazing. And you know, if you decide to walk around in your underwear, then go right ahead, because we're not going to look at you any different.
Wow. So you have one nurse or?
We have a director of wellness and we have an RN that does the RN oversight, delegation tasks and things like that. Again, with the rule changes in the Board of Nursing, it has opened up so much more that our LPNs are able to do. That is more in adult living.
So you have LPNs and medical assistants, or primarily LPNs?
We have one LPN, one RN, and then we have medication med techs. They do a training at North Idaho College, and then we have RAs, which are residential aides.
Nice. Okay. And the activities are probably very similar. Do people go out to the senior center? Or
you do? I actually have one of our residents and her daughter come, I believe, and play bingo once a week over there.
We do bingo once a month now.
Okay, once a month.
Once a month, yeah.
And they love it. Yeah. That's been her routine for years. And so absolutely keep doing what you're doing. We want you to.
And then you have transportation to activities. Mm-hmm. So do they sign up like the day ahead? Or
we put out a schedule of what we're doing for the week. You know, normally it's like Tuesdays and Thursdays are appointments, and Monday, Wednesday, Fridays are going to the grocery store, going out to lunch. We do Friday lunch out and about, and it's a different restaurant all the time.
Oh, very nice.
We are super jam-packed with activities because we just want to keep everybody active. Three of our staff are fit and fall proof certified. And
okay, so that's the course that we were talking about that Nikki took.
Yep, we make sure that that happens because it's a daily thing for us that we do sometimes twice a day.
Do you find people, falling?
Yes. Yep. That's actually one of the number one causes of moving people in, is falling too much at home. And, you know, and that could be a lot of different things, which is wonderful. We can bring in physical therapy and occupational therapy into their lives at the community. So we're all learning what works for them as well. To keep them mobile and active.
So you have physical therapists and occupational therapists on call, or is that what it is?
We have different providers that we call upon that can come into the community and help. Yep.
And Mesa Care sounds like it's not here. Is that in Arizona, or the name?
Nope, it's just the name. It's his last name. His name is Dr. Michael Mesa. And he is out of Coeur d'Alene.
Okay, so does he make visits there, or is it? Oh, he does. That's wonderful.
He has nurse practitioners under him. They're at Life Care here in Sandpoint. Other communities too.
Okay, that sounds wonderful for the residents. And the facilities at Luther Park, are they one bedroom, two bedroom? How do you get or one bedroom with
a
kitchen?
We have a lot. Yeah. Oh my gosh, we have studios to different types of one bedrooms, you know, depending on what you want. I believe we have quite a few designs. I know that. And then we have some two bedrooms as well. They're amazing and spacious. They're really great rooms.
I wish we had some friends that lived on the first floor just to the right of the door. But unfortunately they both passed away, and it would have been fun to visit and see that room. And
you can come visit anytime.
That's great. So again, the ratio of nursing personnel, it sounds like you have a good number of people to look after the residents. Do they do wound care?
We do.
Those awful bed sores.
We don't like that word.
Yeah. No, I know.
And we work so hard not to have that. But We absolutely can. We just get the physician orders on the different type of wound care we want. And then we also have third-party providers that come in, home health, nursing needs, as well as there's a new group out called 5C, and they help with wounds strictly. They'll go to houses. They're amazing. They'll do the debriding, everything. We always have those resources.
So then your nurse or you or whoever speaks with the yep. client, I guess I would call them, the resident.
Yes.
And tells them what is available for them.
Absolutely. Okay.
And then, of course, cardiac concerns are so, are so prevalent, too. I know, again, I'm using my mother-in-law again. She was playing bridge, and she often would just nod her head, and people got concerned, and she went to, they took her to the ER at a local hospital, and she had complete heart block. So she got a pacemaker. It didn't, I thought, oh my goodness, that might help the blood flow to her brain, but she was just starting in that, sort of early stages of Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And we did a show on Alzheimer's before and the whole continuum of the early, memory loss.
Yeah.
We all think as we can't remember that name, but most times when you go out of the room, then you'll remember it.
Right. So that file I have to go back to where I started.
Yeah. Chelsea, what do you... Well, actually, I had a friend who called it the portal theory.
Yes.
I just heard about the doorway theory, and I said, oh, yep, that's what happens.
Yep.
I walk through a doorway, and everything goes away.
Yep. Got to turn around and go back.
And then you go back, and it works.
Yeah.
So what do you find in your clients, Jesse, of memory issues and, health concerns, I guess?
It depends. So if we're talking about our guests that come into the dining room, we have kind of a spectrum. There's, a lot of walkers, sometimes wheelchairs. And we definitely can see changes in people over time. Mm-hmm. And we often call family members to check up, our emergency contacts, how has so-and-so been? This is what we've noticed. So we keep an eye on a lot of that type of thing. And then also with our home delivered meals, I think one of the best parts aside from getting food is that, somebody sees those people 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. And there's been many times that we'll have to call in a welfare check or, we're picking somebody off the ground and, every once in a while I'll have to call an ambulance or EMTs for something. But, the fact that they have somebody that's checking on them and gets to know them, kind of gets to know their routine. If it's unusual that they're not coming to the door, that type of thing. I think it's really very important. And that's a large part of the home delivered meals program, really.
That's great. How many people do you have delivering the meals? And is it always consistent that they usually go to the same house?
We have a Sandpoint route and a Pondere Kootenai route that are daily routes. And we have a different driver every day. Mm-hmm. And so when they come back, pretty much all the drivers say, oh, so-and-so was there, or, they weren't doing very well. And then we have a couple of routes that are once a week. But those, for the most part, those are going to homes with people that have caregivers. Mm-hmm. So
all five drivers kind of would coordinate, I guess, if they were concerned. I mean, if someone was concerned, they
coordinate to me. Yeah, they'll report back to me. And if I hear more than once, this person, maybe we need to check on them. And there's also a lot of times when we can't do anything because they don't want us to do anything. They want us to just leave them alone, give them
the big
food.
Denial.
Yes.
And some of the conditions are not great. And it's hard on the drivers a lot of times seeing that, not being able to do anything.
I can see that. So it's interesting that, again, another just statistics, I hope it's, not boring. But anyway, 46% of the residents you have up to three chronic conditions.
Yep.
And do you find the most common diagnoses the type 2 diabetes and the mobility issues? And
our number one is some type of memory impairment, Alzheimer's, dementia, that umbrella. And then, diabetes, yes, cardiovascular, but a lot a lot more memory impairment. I was reading yesterday about just Idahoans themselves, and 30% or 30,000 Idahoans aged 65 and older are living with Alzheimer's disease as the latest statewide health estimates.
Oh, wow.
And it's increasing. And I think a lot of it has to do around that baby boomer age. And we're seeing, you know, our Vietnam vets that were in Agent Orange and all of that, that is effective in those different areas.
Yeah. I know it's like people, oh, it's increasing. It's like, well, number one, we're doing better diagnoses.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and number two, or number one might be the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. And then number two is that there's so many more ways to diagnose.
Yeah.
People are more alert to it in general.
Mm-hmm. It's not a hidden thing as much anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, we used to call senile dementia and Alzheimer's was earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
In fact, I thought that's what it was. And I now I can't find that, but that Alzheimer's was early onset.
Mm-hmm.
And then we called the other senile dementia. But now everybody who has the plaques, especially.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's the newer diagnoses that most people didn't even know about, Lewy body.
Lewy body, frontal lobe. Yeah, it's amazing. And it really is where it's affecting the brain and how, you know, their behaviors are going to come from that as well.
My mother-in-law suffered from that, and it was a long 10 years at least, an erratic
Erratic
behavior.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is dependent. Lewy body is probably one of the saddest to me, just because it's very long.
It was very long.
And it
took us a while to kind of figure out what was going on, because it was a slow change. But, you know, when you start thinking about, well, you know, well, that's kind of actually unusual.
Yeah.
And she really is a nice person. Anger coming from?
Yeah. We find a lot of our residents have some form of Alzheimer's dementia diagnoses, and they are able to stay in assisted livings more now because we are able to have those interventions in place, which is good.
Mm-hmm. Like Lewy body, we have one friend that it started out more Parkinsonian, and because it was the movement and the rigidity.
Yeah.
And but then when his expressive skills and things like that occurred, then he did end up with the diagnosis of Lewy body.
Yeah.
Then we have another friend that just kind of got diagnosed with Lewy body and passed away very quickly. But again, they were probably not noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember with my mother-in-law in the 90s, she couldn't negotiate social situations.
Right.
So she'd have three calendars around. So whether that was early, I don't know. And then she was in independent living from about 99 to 2004, and then it was a memory unit.
You know, I remember my grandpa putting sticky notes everywhere, and that was normal. It was never a sign that we look at now, right?
I put sticky notes everywhere.
I do too. So do I. But, you know, the turn off stove, turn off lights, lock the door, all those things are one of the clues that kind of help you start seeing as they're changing.
Interesting. And then some people are more anxious and paranoid, and some people are just happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Some are just angry. It definitely is dependent on the person.
Yeah. The anxious and paranoid are like, did you lock the doors? You know, it's like, no, we don't usually lock the door during the day. Or why are these people coming down the street? Because we lived on a cul-de-sac.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, because they live on the other side and they're just coming to park on this side. Or there's traffic on the main street and they think they were through street. So, I mean, that might be.
Paranoia is a big thing.
Yeah, concerning.
Mm-hmm.
Or the medicines, she was given Seroquel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might work for a while and then she'd like doze off. And then she'd think she was back in Indiana in the 20s or the 30s. It was like.
The ability to live different timelines simultaneously, I thought, actually was fascinating.
It is fascinating. Really, and the brain works is amazing.
It's amazing. Honestly.
What was your grandfather like?
My grandpa was amazing. He was the real John Wayne in my book. he lived in Arizona. And he, up until he was about 89 years old, he was still going back to the reservation and doing roundups and all of that great stuff, riding horses and doing what he could do. And then all of a sudden he started changing, and we started seeing all of the signs that it was him. It wasn't, now that I'm in this industry and understand it, now I'm like, oh yeah, man, that was way early on. Mm-hmm. And we didn't pay attention to that at all.
You just kind of write certain behaviors off.
Yeah.
Like, oh, they're just.
That's just them.
Yeah, they're tired, or, you know.
They haven't eaten today.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sure we kind of addressed it. You both have seen people then who get a diagnosis after they're in the facility because you're observing or coming to your center for services.
Yeah.
Because they, and then do you have the nurse go look at them and then kind of, do you have the ability to call their doctor or do
absolutely.
You do?
Yep.
So that's kind of the thing you sign off to?
Yeah, we have to have doctor's orders for anybody to be admitted into our facility. And they give us the history. We call it a history and physical, and it gives us all the information, what's needed to make sure we're caring for them
so
appropriately and all that.
And...
Yep, absolutely. And our nurse does the assessments on them to see if they're a good fit. And 9 times out of 10, they're a perfect fit for us. So.
Is there a waiting list?
We have a waiting list for our 2 bedrooms, yes. Our 1 bedrooms are full. Our wait list has started there right now. What we have open is our studios, but they're filling up fast. We're actually at 98% occupancy as of today.
Oh, wow.
And you provide, I assume, breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Breakfast,
and...
lunch, and dinner, snacks, activities, nursing, 24/7. Yeah, a lot.
So there are bridge groups and...
Bunker
groups.
My gosh. Yes. Pinnacle, we have, I'm going to bring you a group that will want to play all day long.
Oh, that would be great.
Yeah, they love the card games. They love all of it. We actually have a huge group of men that play Wii Bowling that we're going to start doing
awesome.
Tournaments and make them shirts because they're so into it.
I love that.
Wow. Wow. Do you have pet? Do people are allowed to have pets on the property?
Absolutely. Yep. My nurse and I actually just also got little therapy, little babies. They're tiny, and the residents love them because some of them have to give up their cat or their dog when they come in because they can't care for them. So these little bundles of joy they get to hold and snuggle on, and yep, they absolutely can have their
so
animals.
The facility has their personal pets and has their pets, and then they
the
are allowed
can
to have
too.
Their...
absolutely yep
yeah it's interesting. That makes me think of we were visiting our daughter in Colorado, and she's was just 50, so she doesn't quite meet the 65 or 60, I guess, but she wanted to go to pet yoga. So we
would have that
in Denver. They have a contract with a lady who has Bichon. What was the Bichon doodles, but they're not doodles, poodles, but with a Bichon. And I mean, they were the cutest little, like you said, bundles of fluff. And we thought, oh, you know, yoga. And they let you hold, and the little puppies climb all over you and various different things. And then you do yoga for like 35 minutes, maybe. And then they let the dogs back out.
Right.
And there's someone, you know, they have one assistant who comes and cleans up the floor. I mean, but it really was. I mean, the dogs were darling. And they
pet
have
therapy is a thing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, pet therapy, art therapy.
All of it.
So do you have therapists come in, art therapy, or you just...
We do. We have people coming in to do physical therapy, occupational therapy, nursing therapy that are needed. And then, you know, we have... I'm biased, for sure, but we have some of the most amazing care staff that I've ever had the pleasure of working with. They are... truly invested in these residents. You know, we've had residents that have been there for 17 years who just passed away, a 105-year-old that we just lost. But our staff gets so invested in being with them every day. And so that's therapy in itself.
Mm. Wow. Is there anything we've missed at either assisted living facilities or at the senior center?
I think we're pretty thorough.
Pretty thorough. And I'm sure, Jennifer, you have a full calendar of activities.
Oh, gosh, yeah. It's 6 to 8 activities a day. Yeah.
Are they reticent, I mean, to join in at first when they first move in? Or some. I'm sure you have different, you know, again, it's all a bell-shaped curve. You have some people that are gung-ho and some people that are real reticent.
Yes, absolutely. So the ones that are more standoffish, we make sure that we're putting it in their care plan that, hey, staff's going to come get you for the first couple weeks and get you in your routine, and we're going to bring you to activities, and we have prompts, all of that.
Interesting, because... my husband had an uncle that we went to visit, and it turned out it was just before he died. Mm-hmm. And he had become so, I don't know, angry or wanted to be isolated, mm-hmm. kind of
they
thing.
They become reclusive, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, reclusive. And the lady at the front desk said, well, I don't know if he'll see you or not. Mm-hmm. But she told us where he lived, and we went up to his room, and we knocked on the door. And at first it was like, no, you know, nobody can come in. And then when... my husband identified, mm-hmm. you know, again himself several times, and we came in, and he did talk to us, and it was wonderful that mm-hmm. we got to see him, because it ended up like about a month later he passed away.
Yeah, but our staff are amazing at really weaseling their way in to get them to, you know, trust. Yeah. That's a huge thing, is trusting and making sure that I'm safe with you, and you're going to make sure I'm taken care of, and I'm okay, and I'm going to see your face every day because you're going to come. And you're going to take me to activities mm-hmm. or lunch, because we're going to have a lunch date every day.
That trust, yeah. Interesting.
Absolutely.
So do you make reservations at the Friday restaurants? Or
We do. We make reservations.
According to the people sign up.
Yep. They have a bus book, basically, that they can sign up for the different activities, store trips, anything that we're doing, they can come in and...
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So we encourage everyone to participate or celebrate Senior Independence Month. It's actually been noted that ageism is more perverse than racism. It's an interesting, another mm-hmm. little factoid. And people are more discriminated against for age than race. So please support seniors in the community. Take a senior to lunch, a movie, or simply go visit. You can volunteer at the Senior Center, or... Do you take volunteers?
We love volunteers. Yes. We have lots of things that we could use volunteers for, and make up, you know, different activities mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. anything. We also open up our dining room and events to the public. So if you check out our Facebook page, you'll see different events that we're doing. We're inviting everyone in. We're going to be having a Mardi Gras family dinner and outside friends come and join us. So we do lots of stuff like that.
Family
so
and friends.
Come on in.
And we do have more facilities in Sandpoint. I don't want to exclude anyone. The Bridge mm-hmm. and Life Care, as you mentioned, that Dr. Mesa actually covers there too, or mm-hmm. is available to them.
Yep.
Alpine Vista.
Yeah.
You can probably name a few. Oh, Hearthstone.
Hearthstone. Alpine Vista is more of a independent living. Mm-hmm.
It is independent mm-hmm. living. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, some of our independent seniors are able to get home health to come in, mm-hmm. you know, a couple times a week, but those do tend to start adding up as you mm-hmm. need more hours and things like that. So that's when it really starts to transition into assisted living.
Now, I know my sister, they were surprised after she passed away, looking at the bills, mm-hmm. How expensive the home health aide was.
It
and
is.
I mean, she was only there for like an hour or 2 hours, an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was more expensive than they realized.
It gets away from you once you start getting in that routine.
When they add it up. So basically, again, the message is show you care. Young people learn by example. Show the value of senior citizens to the community. When I was talking about my friend, who was born in 1927, his father was at Luther Park, but that was way before you. It's Elwood Wary, and he skied until he was 95.
Amazing.
And he would amaze the lifties, as you said, amazing. And when they learned his age, they called him dude. So create that inclusive community wherever you are. A sincere thank you to Jesse Vachon of the Sandpoint Area Seniors Incorporated, I guess that's why it's sassy.
Sassy.
And to Jennifer Whitmire of Luther Park. And thank you all for listening. Please do remember that this is a medical information show. It does not substitute for discussing your concerns with your medical provider. If you missed any part of the program, catch the show at krfy.org under their podcast tab. I hope you'll join me on the first or third Monday of March when I'll be talking to Rebecca Clowey, registered dietitian, as we discuss March as National Nutrition Month. This is 88.5 KRFY, Community Radio for North Idaho.